Blair Walsh from 27 yards left hash. Snap good, spot down. Walsh's kick is up, and it is no good. He missed it. Are you kidding me? The season can't end like that. He missed it left, and the Seattle Seahawks are off to Charlotte. Blair Walsh missed a 27-yard field goal, and the Minnesota Vikings are going to lose 10-9.
I mean, I'm not a Vikings fan. Don't hate the Vikings, for the record. Never have. Always appreciated their fans and their play-by-play announcer. But that I felt that pain. That was terrible.
And that's the beauty of a Paul Allen, is not only is he a fabulous announcer and a very funny dude, but he is passionate. He lets you know what he's thinking.
The radio host of your Minnesota Vikings, who, of course, the Bears play on Monday night, Paul Allen joining us at PA on the mic on Twitter, K-Fan up in Minneapolis. Paul, thanks for taking time. How are you?
What's up, boys? Man, it's good. Ready to come to Chicago tomorrow, see that the temperatures are going to be okay. Looks like it'll be a fun Monday night at Soldier Field.
Not when Mitchell Trubisky comes out of the tunnel there, Paul Allen.
Hey, Paul.
Well, not fun for who? For Mitchell against Zimmer's defense or the Vikings because they never win in Illinois?
And isn't that a wonderful thing, by the way? Paul, always a pleasure to spend some time with you. We thank you for giving us a little of that on a Saturday afternoon. So, you know, they're saying up in Lake Forest they're preparing for two quarterbacks, but I suppose you would know, are we going to see number 8, Sam Bradford, under center?
Well, Sam was limited in practice this week, and, I mean, Case got reps, but so did Sam. So, you know, I think the decision probably will be made somewhere later today or tomorrow, depending on how Sam came out of the Saturday practice today. Now, I can tell you one thing that's not going to happen is we'll not come up to the game, you know, like 3 hours before the game, like we did in Pittsburgh, not knowing who the quarterback was going to be. Case Keenum, he was ready because he practiced during the week, but it was just a very difficult situation. So they'll know tonight or maybe tomorrow.
You mentioned that Vikings defense, and it's super impressive. I watched basically the entire Lions game, and that super fast, physical, all of it. So I would assume that, what's the talk about facing a rookie quarterback this week, Paul? I mean, what is being said?
Well, with this Vikings defense, I mean, you're right. It is good. It is fast. And it needs to be more opportunistic. But, you know, there are some common threads developing right now that are getting alarming. I mean, the Vikings have outplayed the Lions badly two of the last three times and lost both games, you know. And with the Bears, man, back to 2002 when the game was in Champaign, we're 2-14 in our last 16 in that state. And that includes some pretty good defensive performances. This Vikings defense is the best it has been since Mike Zimmer has been the head coach. You know, you have a bunch of high level players who now have been in this system 2, 3, and 4 years, and we're really, really seeing it game in and game out. They would have won that Lions game if they hadn't dropped 3 interceptions. They sacked Stafford 6 times. They put Stafford on his worst game since 2015. The defense played a winning football game, but, you know, funny, we lost again to the Lions.
Paul, let's see. We've had Ahmad Rashad and Sammy White, Anthony Carter and Hassan Jones, Chris Carter and Jake Reed, Chris Carter and Randy Moss, but the leading receiving duo in the NFL, as we visit with you here on the beat on WGN Radio, Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen. How good are these two receivers?
Well, they're very good because of their route running ability. And I don't want to bore your audience on a Saturday afternoon and go hardcore football 101.
Right, that's our job.
What they do with their routes, specifically at the tops of their routes. You know, I think if you got John Fox or Vic Fangio to open a vein about how these guys run routes, they would say the way they hide them at the top of their routes leads them to getting so open. With Thielen, you know, Adam was a practice squad guy who was a really good special teams guy, and he popped onto the scene last year. And this year, he's really, really good. It's amazing when I watch these games back, the lack of coverage Adam Thielen gets, and I can't exactly explain why. But, you know, with Sam Bradford at quarterback, if Sam can play Monday and make the majority of the games this year, this receiving duo is legit. I'm not going to say Moss Carter, but it's legit.
So, okay, let's play this out a little further. Sam Bradford comes back. He plays well. And then about 4 or 5 weeks from now, Teddy Bridgewater's healthy. I know I'm getting a little ahead of myself here, but what does that look like in Minnesota right now? Because we're hearing word that Teddy is going to be healthy at some point this year.
Well, the way you framed it up, you said if Sam plays well, what happens when Teddy comes back? You know, then Teddy sits. If this situation with Sam's left knee lingers throughout the season and you got to sweat him with limited practices every single week, then I think Bridgewater will get a chance to play. And when he's set to come off the pup, I believe he will come off the pup, and I wouldn't be surprised if he went active. You know, now, I've watched Teddy rehab this knee basically for the last 6 or 7 months. And, you know, Bridgewater looks good with what he's doing, but he hasn't done any team drills in a year. So when he's eligible to come off the physically unable to perform list, yeah, I can't see if they need him playing that first week. Maybe I'm wrong. I mean, maybe, you know, I would think it would need at least 1 week of practice before playing him. But this team won a division with Teddy, and Teddy's a little underrated, you know, when people compare Teddy and Sam. I think they're both good, and I think the Vikings are in a good spot.
Voice of the Vikings, the most popular guy on KFAN, and the heartbeat of Minnesota sports is Paul Allen, hanging out with Mark Carmen and myself, Harry, on WGN's The Beat. Paul, you guys had what looked like the best rookie running back of the bunch, Dalvin Cook, and a horrible injury.
Ouch.
And now he is lost for the year. What do you think Lamont Murray can do for the Purple?
That completely sucks. I mean, because Dalvin, you know, he had a 100-yard game against New Orleans, and he scored his first touchdown in the most recent game, and he catches the ball, and his pass protection's really good. I mean, he was a complete guy, and he legitimately could have become Offensive Rookie of the Year. So now you move on to Latavius Murray. You got Jerick McKinnon behind him. They just signed former Patriot Stephen Ridley. He practiced a little bit this week, but I don't think he'll play. Or if he's in uniform Monday night, I just can't see him playing much. But Murray, the potential problem here is they just, without Adrian Peterson, a north-south guy, they just constructed the entire running game, the entire offseason, for offensive linemen to move and get Dalvin out in space on the edges. And his three best runs, 33, 32, and 25, were all around the corner, with offensive linemen blocking in front of him. That's not Latavius Murray. Latavius is closer to Adrian than he is Dalvin Cook. So, you know, now the offensive line, which was one of the worst in the NFL last year, has been really good this year. It's really good because of its athleticism. Now it's going to have to shift to kind of a north-south deal, and I'm curious to see how it'll work Monday night.
I want to talk about the legacy of a former Minnesota Vikings running back before you go here, Paul Allen. What does Adrian Peterson, I guess, mean to Minnesota and Vikings fans after sort of all has been said and done here?
I think the majority of fans, they did not mind when he was not retained. And I think they recognize him statistically as the greatest running back in the history of the team. But I think the situation off the field with his child, in which he became embroiled in 2014, ruined his legacy for tens of thousands of fans. So, you know, he's an older running back, you know, where the pass protection and the catching was non-existent at times. And I think people, honestly, I think they were ready to move on. And I'm very fond of Adrian. You know, Adrian was great to my kids. He was great to some charities that I do. And I loved calling his games. But I can understand why it was time to move on.
Paul, whether or not the Minnesota Vikings end up in the Super Bowl will end up in Minnesota in that gorgeous new stadium of yours. What can you tell us about the stadium, and how upset are you that it's Justin Timberlake doing the halftime show and not Hall and Oates?
Yeah, right. I don't know if Daryl Hall and John Oates would appeal to the masses in their 60s or 70s the way they would have maybe in the 80s when they ruled MTV. I'm not mad at the Timberlake decision. I mean, I'm not a huge Justin Timberlake guy.
You'd prefer Hall and Oates.
Guys, that, you know, he's one of the most talented and gifted performers in the last 20 years of performing. The planning here is unbelievable. I mean, there's something every single day, and you know, a lot of parties and a lot of galas and stuff are starting to pop up now. So Minneapolis will be ready for the Super Bowl, and it will be a joyous occasion.
Hey, before you go, Paul, why do the Bears have the Vikings number in your mind, at least in the state of Illinois?
Man, that's just like the craziest thing in the world, and I can't answer it. I mean, we're unbelievably good in 2009, and Devin Aromashudu beats us in overtime.
Well, remember that?
In 2002, the heat index is 110. Mike Tyson's first game goes to overtime, and we lose. You know, it's just, I can't explain it. The Bears, I got a lot of respect for the Bears fan base. It's a very smart fan base. It's a very tough place to play.
Bears.
But I've seen some situations emerge there. I think was the quarterback's name Craig or Chad Hutchinson, one of the two in 03. You know, we lose to him. We lost to Kyle Orton in his rookie year. Jordan Howard goes for $163 last year, you know, and makes legitimately good all-pro type players look silly with bad angles and missed tackles. They have to get that out of their minds by the time we fly there tomorrow, because I've heard it a lot around the facility with the veterans and with the younger guys, and they just can't spook themselves before they get there, or they'll lose again.
When I woke up this morning, I did not think I would hear the name Devin Aromashudu. Thank you for that.
That was huge.
I want to say 19. Paul, before we let you go, you are, as I said, star of KFAN. You are all things sports in Minneapolis. Jimmy Butler, Taj Gibson, and our former coach, Tom Thibodeau. What are you guys expecting from the Minnesota Timberwolves this year?
Man, I wanted them to trade for Jimmy Butler last offseason, but now they got it done. I think Bulls fans will like Zach LaVine. He's unbelievably explosive offensively, very explosive. I mean, he'll be full throttle, and he'll pull up from 25 and nail a three, and he'll dunk on you in the key, too. I'm a major, major Jimmy Butler fan, and I have been for many years. I love the NBA. I love his two-way game, and I love his bulldog nature. I love, you know, how Jimmy wants the ball at the end of the game. He gets to the foul line. He can get to the basket, and he's just a tough, hard-nosed player. And Karl Anthony Towns is really, really good, and Andrew Wiggins is really, really offensively good. But the Timberwolves need a bulldog like Butler. So this not only should lead them to the playoffs, it should lead them to a top-five seed in the Western Conference.
Just mark it down here, Paul Allen. Andrew Wiggins and Jimmy Butler, that ain't going to work. And I like Jimmy to a point. Because Jimmy is all about Jimmy.
Fine. Jimmy passes. Jimmy will average 5 assists a game for this team.
Jimmy loves Jimmy. Jimmy is going to want to be the star of the show.
Jimmy likes the lane.
Jimmy Butler is better than Andrew Wiggins.
Not even close.
What you're saying right now, if it's not meshing, it's Andrew's problem, not Jimmy's.
Yeah, but Andrew long-term has got more talent than Jimmy. We could have this conversation for hours.
I don't know about that, man. I mean, I've watched Andrew all of his career, and you know, and you guys know more about Jimmy than me, but I mean, I followed him closely from afar. Jimmy impacts the game and the box score more than Wiggins ever has. I mean, Jimmy will give you 5 assists, 5 rebounds, 2 steals. He'll get to the line 9 times. Unlike Andrew, he'll make them. And Andrew can score 35 or 40, ain't no doubt about that, and he's more explosive than Jimmy. But when it comes to two-way players and complete players, with all due respect, I don't think Wiggins is in Butler's class.
Not yet.
Hey,
that's true.
As a Jayhawk, I can tell you that Wiggins did not show up for the tournament, his final game. Just lackluster, no attitude, no preparation.
A lot of minutes on those Jimmy Butler legs, too.
That's true. And you know, in the first preseason game this year against the Lakers, of the big three they have, Butler, Towns, and Wiggins, your guy Thibodeau played Jimmy the entire first quarter after sitting the other guys.
Of course he did.
I can see how this is going to work out. Jimmy's going to play a ton. Jimmy's going to be good. I hope Jimmy doesn't break down.
Paul Allen.
You're awesome, Paul.
Voice of the Vikings. Thanks so much, Paul. We appreciate it.
Yep. See y'all later. Bye-bye.